At a Senate intelligence hearing last week on worldwide threats, intelligence agencies outlined their concerns over Russia's meddling in U.S. elections. But they also talked about China and how China's projecting soft power through colleges and universities in the United States. Republican Senator Marco Rubio from Florida pointed to Confucius Institutes.
I wrote a letter to five higher education institutions in Florida about the Confucius Institutes, which are funded by Chinese government dollars at U.S. schools. And it is my view that they're complicit in these efforts to covertly influence public opinion and to teach half-truths designed to present Chinese history, government, or official policy in the most favorable light.
Well, Elizabeth Redden, a correspondent with Inside Higher Ed, has been taking a look at renewed scrutiny over these Confucius Institute, and she joins us now via Skype. And Elizabeth, there are about 100 or so of these institutes at U.S. schools, and they teach Chinese language and culture. So what's the concern?
So there's been a number of concerns over the years about academic freedom, essentially, and the universities basically outsourcing curricular control to an entity associated with the Chinese government. But what was new at last week's hearing was that the FBI director, Christopher Wray, suggested that the FBI has been monitoring these institutes with some level of concern. Senator Rubio was asking specifically about the sort of counterintelligence risk posed and the potential of intellectual property theft. He was asking that more broadly about China, but that was sort of another angle of what came up in last week's hearing.
So if the FBI is monitoring these Confucius Institutes, are they saying that they're concerned with some potential criminal activity going on?
You know, Christopher Wray didn't go quite as far as saying that, but the FBI director essentially said that they've been watching the institutes, as he used the word, watching them warily, and in certain instances have developed appropriate investigative steps. So that was as far as we got in terms of detail, but certainly it did suggest that Confucius Institutes have been at least a subject of investigative attention by the FBI, okay, if nothing else.
So back to the sort of academic concern here, which I actually have to say in this day and age is more than just an academic one, right? Because the other issue that Senator Rubio raised was that, you know, he was concerned that because the Chinese government is funding and staffing these Confucius Institutes, that they're seeking to influence sort of academic papers, research, teaching and learning over Chinese history and present policy. So essentially just sort of like controlling what maybe American students learn and think about what's going on in China.
Exactly. I mean, I think there's been, and you know, this has been the issue of soft power and countries trying to put forward a positive view of themselves and cultivate positive perceptions. It's not new. I mean, the U.S. has done similar things. But I think there has been sort of increasing concern about China in its push for soft power and in its push for influence, also exporting, for example, its censorship regime overseas. We've seen some examples, for example, of scholarly journals that have blocked access to certain content in China in order to continue having access to the China market. So there is concern, you know, when does soft power morph into something harder than soft power, I suppose.
Right. And so, I mean, to your point about this isn't necessarily something new, I mean, I'm thinking that many other governments have done exactly this. You pointed to the United States. It's projecting power this way abroad. But here inside this country, I mean, the Saudi government, for example, for years has spent hundreds of millions of dollars on similar institutes, funding professorships, you know, buying entire buildings for colleges. And there has been concern there that the Saudis are trying to, you know, sort of shape what Americans learn and think about Wahhabism or politics in the Middle East. So it really isn't anything new. And to that point, though, like, should we be thinking more about where this money and funding for all of these kinds of institutes are coming from on American campuses?
I do think the issue should be looked at closely beyond the issue of China. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And the issue is, are there strings attached to this money? And to what degree do entities that are accepting this money still maintain control and autonomy?
Now, in your reporting, have you spoken to people who support these Confucius Institutes? And what's their argument?
Yeah, a lot of people do. And, you know, essentially the argument is that this is just a form of academic cooperation. You know, the Chinese government is providing U.S. colleges and universities and U.S. K-12 schools, for that matter, with money to teach Chinese, which frankly, there's fewer and fewer resources available domestically for that.
Right. But, to your point about sort of the concerns about universities not having control over what goes on at these institutes, I mean, as you've reported back in 2014, the American Association of University Professors called on academe, essentially, in the United States to end their involvement with Confucius Institutes unless the university has unilateral control over what's going on. Marco Rubio, as we heard earlier, is calling on five higher ed institutions in Florida to end their ties with these institutes. How many of them have closed in the United States?
So actually, in response to Senator Rubio's letter, one of the five institutions, University of West Florida, responded by saying that they had already decided to close their institute when the contract expires later this spring. There's been a few others that have closed, a couple high-profile cases. The most high-profile was University of Chicago, which closed theirs following the circulation of a faculty petition. Penn State also closed their institute as well several years ago.
Interesting. Well, Elizabeth Redden is a correspondent with Inside Higher Ed. Elizabeth, thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service.